I'm still here with Art Business. Mike, one of the things I like about instrumental music, and I think the same can be said of a lot of visual art forms, is that it can be quite difficult to make a definitive statement if it doesn't, you know, if it's not a typographic thing where you're actually using words. And that's actually a huge strength in terms of the art meaning different things to different people. You're obviously a bit of a thinker, and someone who uses visual art there's quite a strong relationship between faith, doubt, spirituality, and the art that you make. Just explore that, because I don't want to ask a specific question, because I just like the way you think about it.
That's a big...
Tell me about your whole life in 4.5 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it comes back to this idea of what I call authorial intent, the idea that the author has an idea that they want to put across. And I don't necessarily think that's quite important, that's that important. I think a lot of artists should be much more visceral than that. And about the experience both of making it and of experiencing it. And I think that's where it kind of ties in with music. Because although, you know, even stuff that's got lyrics in it, people mishear it and they have their own experiences of it, and they kind of impose their thing on it. And it was really interesting recently, after the U2 360 gigs, one of the guys, I think it was Adam Clayton, was saying that live experience of them playing the songs is where it happens for them, because the audience bring all their experience of their music to the show. So they may well be giving it their all on stage, but actually what they get back is kind of almost more important than what they wrote to start with. And he said that you're often sort of surprised by the reaction that you get from the audience, is that you don't know what's going to happen, but something inevitably does. And they did mention a psychologist who's done a lot of research into this, who I've completely forgotten the name of, but there is the research out there.
We can add it to the tags or the notes on the thing when we find out later.
Yeah. So as I was saying earlier, part of the experience of making work is sort of seeing what happens, but then part of what you do with work and how you show it and where you show it and how people respond to it is also part of the work, I think, actually.
Right.
The actual work as it stands.
But the experience is part of the art.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. So even if, as I did, you leave a piece of your work on a kind of fairly nasty part of a South London council estate and it gets smashed up by a load of kids, that's actually fine.
I want to talk to you more about that in the next boo, because we're running out of time. It kind of reminds me of, and this again is where we risk disappearing up our own arses, but there's a bit in The Sickness Unto Death by Kierkegaard where he talks about us as people, that selfhood, personhood, is not a kind of distinct entity. It's actually defined by the relationships that it forms and that it has, and that it has a relationship with those relationships. It's kind of convoluted, but it's basically who we essentially are is constantly in flux. Because of the relationships around us. And I guess the same can be said of a work of art, that actually it can be redefined and reimagined by context, by relationship, by understanding, misunderstanding, and a lot by the words that are used to kind of create some kind of neural engagement with it.
Yeah. I mean, it sometimes I think it can be, if you are talking about the sense of play, it can be hard to not be indulgent in, to sort of disappear up your own backside. But I think that's where it kind of comes alive. That's why it's important to have it in that sort of network of relationships, because that kind of stops you sort of, you know, disappearing up your own fundament, you know.
Yeah.
Quite important.
Fantastic.